You're listening to 91.7 WVXU on NPR One. I'm Tana Weingartner. With fall on the way, monarch butterflies are beginning their annual migration south to the mountains of Mexico. Just as scientists are beginning to understand how the butterfly knows to make a 3,000-mile journey it's never made before, that migration is under threat from habitat loss. Here's the story of how some people are helping the butterflies spread their wings. Kathy Charvat loves monarchs.
Would you like to pet my friend?
Sure.
One tiny finger. Look at him jump.
Charvat enjoys showing off caterpillars to children. She's a seasonal naturalist with Great Parks of Hamilton County and a champion for monarch butterflies.
I keep using the word miracle, and it's because it's miraculous, I guess. But it's just this astounding natural phenomenon that this tiny insect can travel from Toronto to Mexico by itself, overwinter there, and then start a new cycle the next spring.
That cycle is at risk because of wide-scale herbicide use that has decimated the milkweed plant. Monarchs almost exclusively lay their eggs on the fibrous flower. Charvat suggests the monarch's decline is a harbinger of problems to come for other species facing extinction caused by habitat loss.
I guess the monarch is so visible and so dramatic with its North American migration that everybody's familiar with it, and especially people of an older generation remember a childhood where the monarch was everywhere. And then, you know, since the 70s and even more in recent years, there's been a huge decline in numbers.
To combat the problem, she encourages planting tropical milkweed. There have been problems farther south with a parasite infecting the plant, but Charvat says that's not an issue here because milkweed dies back in the winter.
Describe to me where we're standing and what we're looking at.
While we're standing in the middle of my kitchen.
Nan Plunkett is earning a master's degree in biology from Miami University.
And on one side, on one counter, we have about 130 caterpillars all in individual condiment cups.
The caterpillars happily munch on milkweed leaves in their tiny plastic homes.
Every once in a while, one of the cats will get up and decide to test gravity once again and knock one off.
She estimates only about 10% of caterpillars in the wild make it to adulthood. She's reared close to 400 since spotting the season's first monarch egg on Easter Sunday in April. She worries the migration may become extinct.
To lose that migration, to me, would be terrible, knowing that we can do something to help.
Outside, Plunkett's front yard is more flower garden than lawn. That's key because nectar plants are vital to the monarch's survival. Just like a squirrel fattening up for winter, they have to build up their fat reserves before they head to Mexico. And of course, you have to eat and drink along the way. A 2016 Cornell University study suggests this lack of access to food, along with declining habitat, especially at the overwintering sites, may be an even bigger problem than a lack of milkweed. Entomology professor Anurag Agrawal.
By the time they get to Mexico, their numbers are plummeting. But at the end of the summer, when they start that migration, their numbers are not down.
Not all of the monarchs raised in Nan Plunkett's kitchen are released back into the wild. Some go to Patrick Guerra, an assistant professor in UC's Department of Biological Sciences.
What I'm trying to understand is, for example, how does an individual use its environment, namely cues that it can sense, in order to figure out which way to go? For example, fall monarchs, they need to go south. So how does it use, for example, cues in the sky, such as the sun or the Earth's magnetic field? How do they use those cues to orient southwards?
Guerra uses a flight simulator, kind of like a butterfly treadmill in a barrel, to study how the butterflies know which way to fly. He's also able to manipulate their environments to see how that affects their migration instincts. Scientists still have many unanswered questions. For Guerra, the biggest is figuring out how southbound monarchs know when to stop flying.
It could be something from the plants, or the, for example, the OML fir trees that they overwinter. It could be some sort of a magnetic anomaly that it can key in that's unique to those overwintering sites. It could be something like the altitude, because these overwintering sites on these high altitude mountains. So there's still lots of questions as to even just trying to understand, well, how did they get there? And for me, that's the holy grail of the entire enterprise right now, trying to figure out why did they stop.
All this information, it's important not just for preserving the monarch and the migration, but it can be scaled up to primates and ultimately humans. On the one hand, it's just insects. But for Guerra, it isn't so far-fetched to say understanding the butterfly story could someday help scientists solve even bigger problems, like finding a cure for cancer. Tana Weingartner, 91.7 WVXU.